Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Happy Monday. I know it's tough restarting up on Monday, but we have so much great show for you guys today and for the rest of the week. I'm really excited. There's still gridlock in DC, but a lot of updates over the weekend. It was one of those weekends where I was liking things on Twitter, hoping I would remember to talk about them today. We have so much to cover, so much insanity from the left. And it is from the left. You know, it's kind of an overused thing. The tolerant left, we always say that sarcastically. But damn, are they showing how kind and righteous and virtuous they are. And we had so many examples of that kindness and that tolerance over the weekend, which we will get to. But to bring this in first, Howie once gave me a piece of advice. He said, don't be afraid to talk about things that happen in your real life. And this weekend was actually, unbeknownst to me at the time, a perfect example of some of the things we're going to discuss. I was shopping this weekend. I had to find a dress for an event, and I went to a store in this area, you know, in near Newton, Chestnut Hill area, that's all I'll say. And I was walking around, and they do have a mask requirement at this department store, and I had on my, my sloppy looking mask. It's not the best mask in the biz, that's for sure. And that's because I really only have one left at this point, and I don't really wear it to a lot of things. I only wear it if I have to. So my mask is kind of like hanging below my chin, and I spot somebody on the escalator. Now, here's something I've noticed. People who are, I guess you could classify them as beautiful people, like whether it's celebrities or political figures or sports figures, they have a certain aura about them. And I'm trying to figure out what it is. And I sometimes think it's the hair. They have like television hair. And so they stick out in public places. And so I spot this person and I'm like, I know exactly who this is despite the mask. And it was Dr. Rochelle Walensky.
Rochelle!
And she looks at me. And I'm sure she's thinking to herself, that's not the proper way to wear that mask. It was hanging beneath my chin. And I kind of am looking at her because I'm trying to register. Is this who I think it is? And it was. And she went on her way. And then as I was sitting down at lunch working on a column, I called my dad. And I said, I just saw Rochelle Walensky. And he said, oh, that's something you can talk about on Monday. Never in the conversation did my dad say to me, did you go up to her and scream at her? Did you chase her into the bathroom of the mall? Did you demand that she stop her nonsense? No, of course he didn't. Because I like to think my dad knows I'm not unhinged, that he didn't raise a demonic, insane, liberal, crazy woman. So my dad's just like, oh, that's interesting that you saw her, yeah. And then I go home and I start talking to my fiance about it. And we were joking around. He said, oh, did you go up to her? I said, oh, yeah, I went up to her and I screamed, how dare you? How dare you? You should be ashamed of yourself. Because I was mocking what these Democrats tend to do in these public situations. Little did I know that a prime example of this was going to happen. Kristen Sinema, the senator from Arizona, was in a bathroom, or she was walking. I think she was at Arizona State University. And she's walking, and two social justice warriors start asking her about the Build Back Bagel Better Backstreet Boys program and why she won't pass it.
Bagel Back Better.
And it really, the video is absurd because these two people, I think it's two women, they start basically heckling her, chasing her down the hallway, and then she says, you know, She's not in the Capitol. You know, she's not, she has no there's no requirement that she engage with these nut jobs. And so she walks into the bathroom. They follow her into the bathroom, and a woman proceeds to record her or record the stall that she's in. Now, if you've been to a public bathroom, you know that those stalls oftentimes have cracks that are a bit wider than we might like. You know, if you're ever sitting in the stall and you look out, you can kind of see people walking by washing their hands. So if someone's filming you in one of those stalls, probably a little uncomfortable, to put it mildly. And the reason that they're in there is because they're saying, you know, we need the Build Back Better program. And this is what I love. They're all learning from Greta Thunberg, because Greta, as we often say, is like a supervillain. Like the way she talks about things, it's very... There's impending doom. Speaking of Rochelle, there's always this impending doom and like this real ominous way that if you don't do what I say, you better be ready. It's very threatening. And these two people learned from that. And they actually said, we got you elected. You know, we knocked on doors for you. And I'm paraphrasing, but the way they put it was basically, we brought you in, we can take you out. It was very threatening. And I also have to say, this whole idea of, because people do this to in any industry that you're in, you know, like it always, people always use that as like a fake credibility meter. Oh, I knocked on doors for you. I supported you. It's like, oh, I'm sure you did. You know, I bet you knocked on doors for me. If I was Kristen Sinema, I'd be like, yeah, okay. I'm sure. I bet you were one of my staunch supporters. It's like when people say to me, you know, I liked your show. I listened to it. But I mean, I just disagree with you on this and I don't listen anymore. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm sure you were a big fan. I'm sure you tuned in every day. It just always rings false to me when people do that. So they find her. They bother her in the stall. She walks out. And the most amazing part is the response. And now keep in mind, this is after like days and days of this kind of nonsense. People found Joe Manchin's houseboat, almost heaven, and they kayaked up to it. But they have like a pretty civil conversation with him. But either way, I'm never a fan of going to people's homes, even if their homes are floating on the water. I just think that we need to have some boundaries. And for a group, a political group of people who have been lecturing us and waxing poetically for years about civility and norms and restoring our unity and our kindness and coming together and making America normal again. This is not normal. Two psychopaths following a woman into the bathroom. And I'm guessing it was a woman's bathroom, but it could have been a birthing person's bathroom. It could have been a uterus haver's bathroom. It could have been a cervix haver's bathroom. It could have been a people who menstruate bathroom. But following someone into the bathroom, as if you're going to accomplish anything except for maybe going viral on TikTok, is stupid. And it's rude. And it shows, it's really a reflection of someone's character that you think that that's an appropriate way to behave in our society. Threatening someone, demeaning someone, bullying someone, intimidating someone to try to get them to do what you want. And that is so emblematic of the entire Democratic Party, because they cannot convince anyone. They cannot have debate. They cannot have civil discourse. They cannot hash out issues because they don't have any arguments. So when you don't have arguments, you start chasing people into bathrooms. It's pathetic and not really a peep from anyone, except for maybe Howie Carr, Grace Curley. I'm sure Joe Rogan will talk about it. Fox News is running it. But all of these people who are still trembling in their boots from January 6th, you know, and they, oh, and actually, I'll give you a better one. I'll give you a better example. And a lot of people have brought this up. I'm not the first one. But I mentioned today on Twitter, I said, can you imagine if it was, rather than Kristen Sinema, who is now, according to SNL and all these left-wing moonbats, she's like the worst person in the world. Her and Joe Manchin are going to cook the planet, according to the Rolling Stone. We'll get to that in a second. But if it wasn't Kristen Sinema, let's just do a little bit of that whataboutism we're told we can never use. I'm gonna be a whataboutter here. What if this were Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez who was chased into a bathroom? You think we'd be hearing about it? You think we'd be getting Instagram live soliloquies, monologues? about how traumatized she is, how she feared for her life, how she'll never get over this, how she has post-traumatic stress disorder from being run into the bathroom, how this needs to stop. I have a feeling we would be hearing about it because in 2019, someone took a photo of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez out to dinner with one of her aides, and her aides had a hamburger. And the person posted it. The person posted it to be like, oh, look it, you know, they want to get rid of cows and her aide is eating a hamburger. And AOC was upset about that. She thought that was a violation of her privacy, taking a photo of her out to eat. Do you think she'd consider it a violation of her privacy if she was on the toilet and someone was recording her from behind the stall with the camera facing the cracks of the bathroom stall? I don't know. I feel like we'd be hearing about it. I feel like people would be more outraged. I feel like we'd get videos from Keith Olbermann, you know, and Joe Scarborough about decency. And these people have no respect. But I'm not hearing anything. Crickets. And everyone should be upset about this. And in fact, Peter Ducey, one horse pony soldier, Peter Ducey, asked Joe Biden about it. And it was like a real chance for him to show. You know, he ran on being the guy who could reach across the aisle. He worked with people like he actually used to brag, like, I worked with so-and-so. They were all racist, you know, people who like supported all these nuns. And he would brag about it. Oh, I worked across the aisle. I worked with so-and-so and this guy, and I can work with anybody, and I'm going to bring that back to Washington. This would have been a really good opportunity. And he never takes these opportunities to take the high road and say, listen, we can't have that. It's not hard. Like, all the normal Democrats, not only would they buy into what Joe Biden's saying, not only would they agree with him, but they would praise him for having the wherewithal to put an end to the nonsense. There would be puff pieces like, Joe is right. This kind of behavior must stop. Everyone will fall in line. It's such an easy thing. And it's like the kind of easy thing. It reminds me of when Joe Biden took over, you know, the transition of power. He could have easily said, President Trump did a great job with Operation Warp Speed. Right then, he would have got praise from both sides. His side would have said, he's such a class act. It's so like him to do that. You know, he's already showing his willingness to compromise and his kindness and all this garbage. And then our side would have said, oh, good on him for, you know, acknowledging that it was Trump's Operation Warp Speed. But he couldn't do that. And this is another example where he could have easily said, we cannot have this. We cannot have people following people into bathrooms. We will figure it out, you know, behind closed doors. We will debate each other. We'll come out. People can vote. As Joe Manchin said, if you want a liberal agenda passed, vote for more liberals. Vote for more progressives. Get them in there. But I'm not going to become a progressive to pass your agenda. And instead of doing any of that, this is what Joe Biden had to say.
Mr. President, you're talking about how you have 48 Democratic votes right now. The other two have been pressured over the weekend by activists. Joe Manchin had people on kayaks show up to his boat to yell at him. Senator Sinema last night was chased into a restroom. Do you think that those tactics are crossing a line?
I don't think they're appropriate tactics, but it happens to everybody. From the the only people it doesn't happen to are people who have Secret Service standing around them. So it's part of the process. Yes, sir.
Part of the process. It happens to everybody? Because if it happened to Ilhan Omar, or if it happened to any of the squad people, we'd be hearing about it more. I would remember if it happened to everybody. What a weak, feeble, pathetic man. Even on the easiest slam dunks, he doesn't take it. He's such a coward. 844-500-4242. Speaking of cowards, we have news on Dr. Fauci. Tons of updates. Libby Emmons in the 1 o'clock hour. Excited to be back. Look forward to taking your calls. I want to hear what people think about this. Is this outrageous? I mean, I have to imagine that even liberals think this is a bridge too far. We'll be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Do you think that those tactics are crossing a line?
I don't think they're appropriate tactics, but it happens to everybody. From the the only people it doesn't happen to are people who have Secret Service standing around them. It's part of the process.
Not to mention people that have a wall of handlers surrounding them at all times. Definitely doesn't happen to Joe Biden. He doesn't go outside enough to even interact with anyone, let alone a couple of unhinged liberals in a bathroom. It's absolutely pathetic, and we're going to keep talking about this. I just think it's such an easy... I really... There's some issues where I understand you have to play politics, but... And I find this with conservatives, too. Sometimes there are situations where you can just say, oh, no, that's bad. You know, either way. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to theorize. You can just say... And all you have to do is think to yourself, would I want this to happen to me? And Don Lemon did the same thing when he saw the video of Tucker Carlson being confronted by a guy in a bait and tackle shop. Because I'm sure Don Lemon thought to himself, I don't want to be confronted by some nut job when I'm in the Hamptons having a good time, when I'm at the grocery store. It's a very easy way to find where you fall on something. Would you want to be treated like that? And for most people, the answer is no. And someone just texted in. You can always text in 63566. Start the text with the word curly, C-U-R-L-E-Y. Someone said, what if this were Maxine Waters? Well, Maxine Waters, she was one of the first people that really encouraged this kind of behavior in that infamous rant where she said, you know, get up in people's faces at the gasoline stations. And I can't imagine that these liberals are surprised that people are following their instructions. Richard, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Richard.
Hi, Grace. I watched and listened to Joe Biden's presentation and supposed news conference. Anyway, I'm shocked and stunned and amazed that no one from the media dares to ask the question or is interested enough to ask the question, what is the addition of 80,000 up to 100,000, I guess, IRS agents doing in that legislation? What is that for? Or why is there a piece of legislation that also wants to add a rule that makes banks report any transactions by any citizens over $600? That's the total of those two packages comes to over $100 billion. Nobody asks why and
yeah.
What is it?
And you know what, Richard? There's so many questions right now that are out there that nobody is asking. And you just brought up a couple of great ones from the massive $3.5 trillion and $1.2 trillion infrastructure packages. One of them is a reconciliation, you know, human infrastructure. One of them is actual stuff. That's the simple way to put it. But there are a lot of questions involving that. The IRS getting $79 billion, you know, tree equity. There's so many. But then there's other questions, too. And I was thinking about it this weekend. Dr. Fauci did a hit with a reporter who asked him, you know, can we gather for Christmas? And I really thought no one asked him about the Emmys. No one asked him about these. What was another big recent event? The Grammys, maybe these big award shows, Obama super spreader. Nobody asked about that. And nobody asked about the illegal aliens pouring over the border. And this just gave me an idea. If you get a question, whether it's for Fauci or Biden or Psaki, and you really think you have a good question that could put somebody in a tough spot where they either have to answer yes or no, what's your question? Because I have a few. 844-500-4242. We will continue this and have more sound for you when we get back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I just ended the last segment by saying, you know, if you had any politician of your choice, any public figure, any expert or highly paid federal employee, Dr. Fauci, what would you ask them? You know, because we always think about this. Maybe I'm speaking too broadly here, but in my family, especially with my parents, we're always coming up with what we would ask if we were in a press briefing room. Like if you had one chance to get a question asked, if you could get by Joe Biden's handlers and his instructors and get one question in, or even for Dr. Fauci. You know, there's so many situations that are drenched in hypocrisy that really expose a lot of holes in all of their theories, whether it's about COVID or the crisis on the southern border. There are so many opportunities where you could really hamstring these people and make it obvious that they have no idea what they're doing. And I just thought of a few right off the top of my head. For Dr. Fauci, I think my big question for him right now, and it's something I've just been contemplating over the last couple of days, is what is the opposition to natural immunity? What is this real dislike for that conversation or that idea? I think we've seen Dr. and Senator Rand Paul discuss this recently with Javier Becerra, but it is worth noting, I mean, natural immunity, especially in a lot of studies out of Israel, shows to have better protection long term. And the only reason I can think of, and I hate to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I do think, and I've waited a long time to go down this road. We've had people call in. I veered off of it. We've had, you know, people ask this question. But I do think it's time we start really looking into Big Pharma, because why is there a hesitancy to embrace natural immunity unless it has something to do with the money aspect of this? Unless it has something to do with, you know, why does everyone need to be vaccinated? And that would be a question I have for Dr. Fauci. What is with your dislike for natural immunity? Why do you hate it so much? My question for Joe Biden would be, why did you lie about the advice your top military advisors gave you? That's one question where we have the transcript of what he said to George Stephanopoulos versus what Milley, McKenzie, and Lloyd Austin said. Why did you lie? And that's it. You just end it there. You don't give him any wiggle room. If you go into this too long, it gets kind of messy. And for Gavin Newsom, why do children have to be mandated? Why are children required to get vaccinated and teachers are not? I know the answer to that one. It's unions. You know, kids aren't protected by unions. But I would still like to have him answer that. And I'm curious if you guys have your own questions. Now, I see a lot of you on the line. We will take your calls, 844-500-4242. But first, today's poll question is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who is the most unhinged?
Oh, this list. We will get into this at some point today. The unhingedness of these people is really something else. Specifically, I think I have one person who stands above, but go ahead, Jared.
Keith Olbermann, Chris Hayes, the Cinema Bathroom Stalkers, Brian Stelter, or Rolling Stone's Jeff Goodell.
All right, so Jeff Goodell has a crazy piece. I actually stole it from Howie. It was in Howie's homework today about how Joe Manchin is cooking the planet, literally. Cooking the planet. They love to do that, you know. I'm not speaking metaphorically. I'm talking literally here. He is cooking the planet from his little stove on his houseboat.
What's the temperature to cook a planet? 325? It's 350?
You know what? I'm going to say 450.
Oh, 450, yeah.
You know, you got to get to the center of it. It's thick.
Convection or just regular?
Bacon? Just regular. Just regular. Yeah, yeah. Don't go too crazy. Don't go too fancy on us. But yeah, so you have that piece, which was wild, and I'll read that later on. But in as much as the bathroom stalkers are insane, I think that's more of like a sickness. Like I think that they are just, brainwashed by the left. When it comes to unhinged, there's a good way to tell if someone's unhinged, Jared. When they talk, if they get like white spit in the corners of their mouths,
the foaming of the mouth,
it's foaming and it's, they're too passionate to even realize it, have any self-awareness and say, ooh, I look a little crazy right now. So they keep going. And that is really, it's really indicative of someone who's lost their minds. And I think that this award goes to Keith Olbermann, without a doubt. The guy is nutty.
Keith Olbermann is polling at 29%, which is good for second place. The Cinema Bathroom Stalkers are in first place at 53%, 11% for Brian Stelter, 4% for Chris Hayes, and 2% for Rolling Stone's Jeff Goodell.
Now, don't underestimate Chris Hayes. He's in all caps on Twitter, thinks the world is ending in 2 years type of guy. So I want you guys to give him a good hard look. Do your research here. This is an important election. But what I will say is we have the Keith Olbermann sound. We will play that. I do want to go to the calls here because you're always my priority, the listeners. But this Keith Olbermann sound, his logic is that people who don't want to get the vaccine are afraid. Now, like, we're scared. First of all, I got the vaccine, so I don't know why I'm saying we, but the people who don't want to get the vaccine are afraid. They're babies, they're snowflakes. There's a few reasons I think this is a stupid argument. One is like, okay, if people are afraid, is being afraid a sign of a bad person? Like, I thought fear, you know, fear was your goal in all this, and now you've scared people, and maybe people are scared about getting the vaccine. Is that a reason for you to ridicule them? I thought, you know, it feels a little bit like toxic masculinity that he's throwing at me there. But two is that he's trying to tell us we're afraid. The guy has had, I think, 3 shots now. He's wearing a mask in his penthouse in New York by himself talking into a camera about how we are afraid. The guy's chance of getting COVID is probably like negative 50. And he's telling us that we're the babies. It just doesn't make any sense. And wait till you hear the sound. But first, let's go to the callers. Christopher, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Christopher.
Grace, the question I would ask would be asking Joe Biden why it's so hard to deport people like that Russian-German scammer from ABC 2020, Anna Delvey. She stole $275,000. She got released from prison after serving less than 2 years, and she's still in the country.
Yeah, that's a very good question, and I can assure you, Christopher, that he would not have an answer for you, as you can imagine. I mean, it's the guy doesn't know what's going on around him. He would definitely not know how to answer that. But I like that question, and I think that everyone has like certain things that are on their mind. For some people I talk to, I know their first question would be, how can you lecture us on wearing masks at the grocery store when you're not doing anything about the thousands of people crossing the border? Unvaccinated, unmasked, and most of them have COVID. A lot of them have either COVID or lice or some sort of disease. And that's not me being xenophobic. That's me going based off what the administration has told us themselves. So, yeah, there's all sorts. That's a really good question. Peggy, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Peggy.
Hi, Grace. Great show as usual. I'm calling about the natural immunity and the Regeneron and the other medications that they don't really talk about, because they're tested, they're proven to work, and they're not expensive. So natural immunity is free. So I really think the component is, somehow, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I think if you follow the money, you can see that there's a pattern. They only want everybody to get the jab because it's very expensive, and somebody is pocketing a lot of money.
Yeah, I don't think that's conspiracy theorist at all. Thank you for the call, Peggy. And actually, like I said before, I have been very careful about going down this road. But at a certain point, when you have Fauci talking about, he at some point this weekend said like, oh, you know, I know people say that if the vaccine, or, you know, if you can not die from it, but you just get sick, that that's okay. But I don't believe that. In other words, you either have to get fully, triply, quadruply vaccinated, or you have to live in a bubble the rest of your life. It seems like the road he wants to go down is for every single person on planet Earth to have to get vaccinated. And that doesn't make any sense scientifically. It doesn't make sense for herd immunity. It doesn't make sense for people who've already had COVID and have natural antibodies. It doesn't make sense. And for a guy who talks about following the evolving evolution of the evolution of the evolving science, it really doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of tying a rock around a witch and tossing her in the water. Well, she didn't save herself, so she's not a witch. Or, hey, she floats, she's a witch. Like, there's no
right,
point
there's,
to any
there's
of
no
this.
Winning in this situation. Yeah. And people have already said it's not possible. We're never going to, it's an endemic. We're never going to get to zero cases. But that's the new goalpost for Fauci. Because according to his interview with Hugh Hewitt, the last thing he'd ever want is to step away from the limelight. Unequivocally, no. We would never want that. So if he's not going to step away from the limelight, this solution is, let's have this go on for the rest of our lives. And I actually was looking today at the cases, and the cases are dropping. It's great news. I'm so sick of the media running off of this fear and this bad news. People need it. People need to hear cases have dropped 15%. That's good. The cases are plummeting. especially in Florida, which, by the way, you don't hear about at all anymore. 95% down in cases. And you won't hear a peep about it because that's not what they want. They want to scare you forever. And it's great news that these cases are growing, but every single time I read a story on it, like by the either the second sentence or at least the second paragraph, it was, but still experts warn. And all I can say to that, and I try my best to come up with, like, you know, these really good arguments, whatever. But sometimes when I see the experts and the Faucis and the, oh, but we still have this coming, all I can think of is shut up. Just shut up. You've done enough, okay? The people that are going to be scared are officially scared. They've officially bought in. It's their new religion. You got them. For the rest of us, it's not working. It's not happening. So just shut up. Let people live. Tom, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to talk about this Green New Deal stuff. And it was about a year and a half ago that Al Gore said, even if America were to go totally carbon neutral today, because of the fact the last 20 years, your audience can Google this, coal-fired power plants worldwide since the year 2000 have doubled worldwide. We have approximately 250 in our country. They have scrubbers on them. So in other words, they're not releasing ashes up in the atmosphere. China has 1,100 coal-fired power plants where long before the pandemic, people in those industrial cities were wearing masks because of the particulates in the air. And not one of these moon bats like AOC or any of these green energy advocates brings up this fact of what is going on in the rest of the world.
Yeah. And Tom, I love that you brought that up because it's a point that I think is where a lot of people, even people who are very pro-Earth, which I think most people are if you really ask them, it's kind of like being pro-water. I thought we were all on board for that. But there's people like, and I'll give you an example, like my mom, she's always been an avid recycler. She loves to recycle. She has since I was little. Before, you know, all of the Brad Pitts and Angelina Jolies were telling us about how wonderful it was, my mom was recycling. But that's the exact point my mom would make, which is, yeah, I'll do my part, but I'm not upending my life to fix something that other countries are not worried about. Because what we're doing as a country is we're almost on like this suicidal mission. All right, we'll kill all our jobs. We'll kill all our pipelines. And everybody else is going to go on their merry way and make tons of money and have tons of success and tons of jobs and damage the, I'm sure, damage the atmosphere, raise the temperature. They don't care. But we're going to be the martyrs here. We're going to die on this hill and kill our economy in the process so that Joe Biden can say, 2050 carbon emissions, blah, 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 blah. And I'm glad we talked about this because it's a great segue for me in the next segment to read you this nutty piece from the Rolling Stone. They took a break from the fake rape cases and the fawning puff pieces on the Boston bomber, and they decided to write about how Joe Manchin just cooked the planet. And it talks a lot about coal and how this is just, it's terrible what he's doing. It's just awful what he's doing, and it's unforgivable. We'll get to that after the break. Thanks to everyone who came out to our live broadcast Friday at Aviva Trattoria in Malden. We had such a great time. Howie got the antipasti. I got the eggplant Milanese. Our engineer got the eggplant Milanese. I was convincing everyone. It's just so good. It's like lightly fried and so yummy, and it's on like a bed of greens. Unbelievable. And I saw a lot of what the listeners were getting, which included some delicious cocktails, a lot of espresso martinis, chicken parmesan. I know Howie and I indulged in a couple cannolis. Everyone was raving about their great dishes, and the service is always phenomenal. You definitely have to check it out. If you couldn't make it on Friday, Aviva Trattoria has locations in Maynard, Malden, Marlborough, Wrentham, Westford. If you want to taste their Italian cuisine, and if you want pizza, pasta, short rib risotto, seafood, pasta dishes, salads, you name it, Aviva has it. Also, I just want to mention here, they can do almost everything gluten-free, which is extremely rare for an Italian restaurant. But also, what I hadn't realized until recently is Aviva because Chef Anthony is so invested in giving you the best quality food, he really sources a lot of local products and local foods, including mushrooms from local farms. And so everything is very authentic. And I know that's very important to people now, especially everyone's foodies and they want the best quality meal. This is the place to get it. Visit their website, avivatrattoria.com, and visit one of their locations in Maynard, Malden, Marlborough, Wrentham, or Westford. And don't forget the Malden location, free parking at the Jackson Street parking garage. All right, we'll get back. We'll take more of your calls. I see you on the lines, 844-500-4242. We will take all of your calls about the end of the world, climate change, but also this bill and whether or not the bathroom tactics are working. I'm going to go on a limb and say no. Someone follows me into the bathroom. It's what I always say, you know, you get more bees with honey. You know, being sweet and nice to people tends to yield better results. Banging on the stall of a bathroom and demanding something. I don't know how that will play, but we'll see. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the whiskey priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
The planet is running a fever. There are no emergency rooms for planets.
Oh, Ed Markey. Where has Ed been lately? Have not seen him, although you'd never see him in Massachusetts, so that makes sense. We still have a lot to get to, and actually 63566 is the text line number, and I was just discussing the, I don't even know what you'd call them, pains in the butts that followed Kristen Sinema, the senator from Arizona, into a bathroom to try to convince her to go along with their great plan, because nothing screams great plan like we have to bully people while they're going to the bathroom. That is usually the telltale sign for things are looking good for your party. But someone just texted in and said, Grace, it's like they've never heard of the golden rule. How could I forget the golden rule? Treat others like you wish to be treated. But that's not how Democrats think anymore. Their new golden rule is the ends justify the means. You know, our cause is so much worthier than yours. Our values mean so much more. We have such a responsibility to mankind that we have to do what we have to do. And it doesn't matter if we have to harass people. It doesn't matter if we have to demean people and mock people and force people to do things they don't want to do. That is all justified, because if we don't do this, the earth will be a blazing ball of heat in 2 months. And it's amazing when you convince yourself, and I'm going to find the exact quote. Ben Weingarten wrote about it once, but it's amazing what you can excuse when you convince yourself that your cause is really righteous, like what you will allow yourself to do if you think you're doing the right thing. We've seen it throughout history. Oh, no, what I'm doing is so important. You know, I care so much. The stakes are so high. So, yeah, if I have to follow a woman into the bathroom and film her, then that's just what has to happen. You know, it's worth it. And that's what Trump has done. What Trump has done is he broke these people and then we stuck them in their homes for 2 years, gave them a new religion that's called COVID-19 mask requirements, and let them out into the world now. And they're all insane. And is anyone surprised? 844-500-4242. Talking to Libby Emmons about all of this next. And then we are going to get into how Joe Manchin cooked the planet from his little houseboat. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.